is the Fade 5 Podcast with Brad Evans and Nate Lundy.
Place your bets, you jackwagons! Brad the Big Noise Evans here, joined by the good sir, Nathaniel Lundy. It is a Freaky Friday edition of the Fade 5 Podcast, and I'm bleeding! Medic, help! The opener between the Chiefs and Lions plundered my bankroll, Lundy, so I'm already in full chase mode, although mandatory Montgomery was the only silver lining in that debacle of a game last night. I still cannot believe Detroit went in front of 70,000 plus raucous and rowdy Arrowhead fans with all the pomp and circumstance and celebration from last year's title and the unveiling of the banner and all that jazz. And the Chiefs really sunk up the joint. It was quite remarkable. They need Travis Kelce back in a hellified hurry. Because Kadarius Toney has no place right now being on an NFL roster along with many of those wide receivers. But I digress. Screw the senior circuit here for a moment. Let's make some college cash, my friend. My University of Illinois Fighting Illini in action tonight against the Kansas Jayhawks. I am going to refrain from taking a wager in that game, but eyeing the rest of the slate on Saturday, what stands out to you, my amigo?
Oh, so you're not going to let me take KU minus three, because that's what I'm doing. I'm not touching it. I'm taking KU minus three, man. I'll go ahead. I'm going to give you two plays here off the top as we do some college cash. Right. If you're listening to this on Friday, take KU, lay the points, lay the three. You're fighting Illini, and I use the word fighting with air quotes, gave up 28 points to Toledo.
Well, okay? Toledo's good. Toledo's a really good team. Put some respect on Toledo's name, but continue.
But hold on a minute. Your squad was supposed to be this good defensive stalwart. Yeah, and you gave up 28 points to Toledo. I have a feeling KU, first of all, the team total for KU is at 30.5, and I'm not so sure I'm not taking the over on that too. But I'm going to lay the 3 points with KU. But let me give you a fun one for college cash for Saturday, Brad. I think this is hilarious. And this is sort of the, I don't know, every now and then you and I can find bets where we just go, oh, this is fun. Let's just have a good time with it. Brad, Ball State is taking on Georgia tomorrow. And, you know, it's the Bulldogs. And that's a damn good football team, right? The team total for Ball State is over under 3.5. That's it. And I'll tell you what, I say the, I'm going to go, this is nuts. I'm going to take the over. I'm going to say that Ball State can manage to get a touchdown on the board. It might be with 30 seconds to go in the fourth quarter, but I'm going to play the over on the team total of 3.5. Now, DK's got it juiced up a bit. It's minus 130 because there's other people that are as psychotic as I am that want to play this. But I am actually going to play the over on the team total. I'm going to say that the Bulldogs kind of back off towards the end, and they're like, yeah, go ahead, score, do whatever you want.
With the all-freshman team likely going to be on the field at that juncture. So why the hell not ball out with your balls out on the Fighting Football Cardinals, as David Letterman used to call them, pride of Ball State University there in Muncie, Indiana. I am going to give you a little early bonus time. Yes, I do have a little bit of action on the Fighting Illini and Kansas Jayhawks game, but it's in the player props market, Lundy. If you look at Luke Altmyer, the quarterback for my Fighting Illini, the over-under on rush yards is just 22.5. And I say slam that over. It is minus 110 right now at BetMGM. If you have college player props available in your market, not every state has that, but Altmyer ran for a 69. Nice. Yards last week against those. Put some damn respect on the Rockets' name, Toledo. And that's kind of part of his game. He's sneaky fast and sneaky good on the ground. And it's not like Kansas has got a stalwart defense by any stretch of the imagination. They're a bit of a turnstile. He's going to take advantage of what the front line and linebacker core gives him, whether on designed or opportunistic runs. So, Allmyer, I'll take the over 22.5 rush yards in that game. My main college cash is NC State. Oh, on the Wolfpack, I'm going to take the points, a +7.5 against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And the reason why is this. Yes, Notre Dame is a public favorite. Everybody and their great-grandmother right now on the Golden Domers. And it's understandable. I mean, they've outscored the first two opponents 98-6. That was Navy and Tennessee State. But the level of competition really ratchets up here because the Wolfpack has an outstanding defense. They saw on a display last week in their win against UConn and taking that 24-14. Remember last year, they were number 35 in the country in rush EPA defense and number 19 in pass EPA defense. And I think that's starting to carry over. They got a lot of experience on the front line and especially in that secondary. So I think they're going to, you know, keep Notre Dame somewhat honest. I'm picking them to win straight up. But they do have a couple of days of extra rest. And I think they're going to keep this one nice and snug. So they will cover. And yar, Captain Hook could come into play here. Give me NC State +7.5 against Notre Dame. With those bets on the board, please, gambling gods, be kind to thee. Let's get after it with another edition of the Fade Five.
Number five.
All right, let's first and foremost go with a juicy anytime touchdown prop, and I am going to throw a little action down on Anthony Richardson, the former Florida Gator standout, to score an anytime touchdown in his regular season debut for the Indianapolis Colts against those Jacksonville Jaguars. Look at that juice, +230, best odds right now, available at Caesars Sportsbook. Here are your running backs. They're going to see some action more than likely for the Colts. It sounds like Deion Jackson's getting the start. Evan Hull's going to be in the mix. And Zach Moss, believe it or not, despite the broken forearm, could be healed enough that he could get a few touches in this game, though it will probably be on a limited snap share. So full-blown RBBC, which tells me that the RPO action is going to be front and center, especially when Richardson is 6'4", 244 pounds. The guy was a running beast at the collegiate level, and he didn't play in some low-level conference. He played in the damn SEC, again, with Florida there in Gainesville, and I think you're going to see him call his own number early and often in this one. Jacksonville, according to my buddy Mike Clay at ESPN, ranks number 21 in terms of their interior line coming into the season, and that defense projected to be a bottom 10 unit in its entirety. Remember last year, they gave up the Jaguars the third most rush yards to the quarterback position, surrendering 27.6. So if the Colts knock at the door, I think you're going to see that RPO action and Richardson keep ball to the belly and plow his way Jalen Hurts style into the end zone for six. And early bonus time, Lundy, I also took the over on rush yards for Richardson when it opened at 42.5. And that number at most books has already jumped to 45.5, and I would still play it. I think he's going to get 50-plus yards on the ground along with a rushing TD. May only throw for $1.50, but fantasy-wise, it's a pretty damn good week one afternoon. So fade or follow the legs of Anthony Richardson scoring on an anytime touchdown +230 at Caesars.
So I'll follow in terms of the juice that's there. It's probably a half unit bet. I don't know that I'd fully do it. I'm a bigger fan of the rush total, to be honest with you, Brad. Of the two that you've given out, excuse me, I'd rather play the over on the rush total. But sitting at, you know, almost 2.5 to 1, it's hard to ignore the juice that's available in Caesars for this particular bet. So I will play this one for sure. Look at you teasing people with the banners on the bottom, telling everybody what's coming up. Look at you teasing.
Yeah, I hit the wrong button because I gotta update the line. We got some movement. But what's gonna move is Richardson's legs in the stinking end zone.
Number four.
All right, there it is. I already teased it. Kind of a subtle tease there on the down low, on the hush-hush. But Desmond Ridder, the line opened at 200.5 pass yards. I slammed the under at BetMGM yesterday. That line has come down. Again, we always tape this Fade 5 episode on a Friday. It's at 197.5. Still at BetMGM, and that is the highest line in the industry. So if you are with me on this under for the Atlanta Falcons quarterback, I'd say go to BetMGM right now and play it at that -115. Some of the other books have this as low as 180.5. And honestly, I think it's where the line should be. And I would still play the under because I think he winds up between 170 and 175 rush yards or pass yards, in this game. You look at Desmond Ridder. Last season, only four games in which he had 26 or more pass attempts. It was mainly Marcus Mariota under center for this franchise. He averaged just 6.2 pass yards per attempt. Yeah, he completed 63.5% of his passes, but this is a run-heavy team. It's going to be a whole lot of Bijan, a whole lot of Algier as well, and that 1-2 punch on the ground. Don't believe me? Well, look at the numbers from a season ago. The coaching staff still intact. Atlanta had the second lowest pass percentage, only calling some of those airborne plays 44.7% of the time a year ago. So it's all about grounding and pounding, and they got a top five offensive line, in my opinion. Really intact and congealed and coming back. And you're going against Carolina. Carolina last season, respectable secondary, middle of the pack ranking entering this year. And Carolina allowed just 7.07 pass yards per attempt a season ago. Marcus Mariota was the Atlanta quarterback in the pair of matchups against the Panthers last year. He soared over this in one game, going for 253, but went well under in the other one at 186. I think it's going to be more of the latter than the former for Desmond Ridder. Give me the under 197.5 pass yards against the Panthers, -115 at BetMGM. Lundy, pay to follow.
I like this one, but tell you what, let's go ahead and correlate it together because I just pulled this one up and I like the fact that the juice is only at a -105. So I'm going to tie another one in here. Give me the under on his pass attempts, which sits at 27.5, because ooh, I'm with you. This is going to be a ground game. This is going to be a ground team. So in addition to the under on his passing yards, yes, I liked it better when it was up at two bills and it was up at 200 just because you get that cushion. But let me go ahead and correlate with this one because he sits at 27.5 pass attempts. That's at DraftKings. That's what I pulled up here while you were talking. And it's actually juiced to the over. I'm going the other direction. Give me the -105 on the under 27.5 pass attempts. Brad, I think he's going to finish the game right around 23 or 24. I don't even think this is going to be a sweat in the fourth quarter. I think they are going to continuously hand the ball off as much as they possibly can, and they're not going to try to put too much on Ridder here in game one.
Oh, Ridder me this, Ridder me that. I think he is going to make my wallet fat. Bet on the under.
Number three.
All right, numero tres here on the Fade 5 countdown today. A rub-a-dub-dub, hop aboard the old Chubb Club. And yeah, I'm going to grind on a brass pole in regards to Nick Chubb and the over 12.5 receiving yards against the rival Bengals. They are in the intrastate battle to lead off here week one for the Cleveland Browns. -115 on that Chubb prop available at DraftKings. And I think Chubb's role as a pass catcher is really going to ramp up this year. Remember, no Kareem Hunt, still a free agent on the open market, probably going to sign at some point here during the regular season. But Chubb last year, number 32, that's it, among running backs in target share percentage, and number 28 in route run percentage. I think those numbers are going to climb. I think he's going to be top 15 in both of those, assuming he plays a full slate of games. They only averaged 12.8 routes run per contest a season ago. I think it's going to be more around 15 to 17 in that category this year. He averaged a respectable 8.9 yards per catch a season ago. And also against the Bengals in a pair of matchups, he was under in one game, only had one catch for 3 yards. But over in another one, he had 3 for 20. Cincinnati did allow 4.4 receptions and 30.8 receiving yards per game to the running back position. So pulling it all together, rub-a-dub-dub, get that bottle service behind the velvet rope at the Chubb Club. Give it the over 2.5 receiving yards against Cincy, -115 at DraftKings. A Lundy, fade or follow.
Bottle service is so overrated at the club. All right.
It's expensive.
There is absolutely no reason for you to be spending $300 for a bottle of Sky Vodka. Okay. Let's hold on a minute here. Why in the world would you be dropping that kind of coin just to get a bottle? You can take a walk a block and a half off the strip and I'm talking dive territory, because Brad and I have been there together.
Yeah.
And go to the liquor store and find yourself a bottle of Sky, and you're probably going to spend $19 on it. Skip what you get in the club. That said, let's get Nick Chubb to cash us a ticket. Brad is already chasing after what happened in Thursday Night Football. So, folks, everything you hear, and by the way, so am I, because Sky Moore sucks. Take everything we've got here with a grain of salt, okay? Because Thursday Night Football really, really killed us. And look, as a Broncos fan, I'm perfectly happy to watch the Chiefs party get pissed on by the Detroit Lions. But be careful with some of these bets, because Brad is already on tilt and we're only one game into the season.
Oh, leading, tilting. Get me right, please. Nick Chubb.
Number two.
All right, numero dos here on the Fade at Five podcast. One of the most interesting bets that I have come across in the player props market here, NFL Week 1, is Jamal Williams for any time touchdown against the Tennessee Titans, +150. Yeah, baby. Let's get seduced by that juice at BetMGM. Why is this muy interesante? Well, if you search out at some of the other books, it is a very wide juice disparity right now on this wager. MGM, best odds in the business at +150. FanDuel, the worst odds in the business. And that number, -140. Cray cray. Take advantage of that very juicy number available at BetMGM. Why? Alvin Kamara, not going to play. Suspended. Kendre Miller, we'll see if he goes, but probably going to be on a snap count because of his injuries, and he's been practicing very sparingly this week, which means Williams is going to be the main man, and if this offense can move the ball down the field, and it'll probably be able to do so vertically, anywhere close to the end zone, Williams is a bloodhound. He's going to sniff the chalk. He's going to find it, and he's going to splash six, because he did that so often last year as a member of the Green Bay Packers. 14 of his 17 touchdowns, Lundy, that he scored came inside the 4-yard line. So he is the definition of a goal line gremlin. And somebody could certainly get it done. He was number 2 in total red zone touches a year ago with the Packers. He had 57 overall. And I know what you're thinking. Yeah, the Titans have a very talented defensive line. They have the 10th best projected interior line, according to Mike Clay. They only allowed 7 touchdowns and 3.38 yards per carry to the running back position. But the weakness defensively of Tennessee, again, is in that secondary. And I think Chris Olave is going to be able to get some chunk gains. Maybe Michael Thomas has a resurrection of sorts in this game. Juwan Johnson, the tight end, can maybe move the chains for Derek Carr. And if they get inside the 10-yard line, you know, ball to the belly is going to Jamal Williams. He's going to have some opportunities to punch one in. And I say he does, damn it, because I'm at full chase mode and I need it. Jamal Williams, anytime touchdown against the Titans, +150 at BetMGM. Lundy. fade or follow.
I'm just enjoying today's pod, man. I got to be honest with you. I don't give a shit whether I fade or follow on any of these. I'm just enjoying the fact that you are on full-blown tilt.
And I'm pissed off!
And there has only been 60 minutes of football played this season. And dude is already... Folks, are you paying attention to this? Dude is off his rocker already. He's lost it. And you wait until KU beats Illinois tonight, and then it's going to be even worse. Dude.
Suicidal if that happens.
Oh, my goodness. This is nuts. How much – you posted it on social media last night. How much of that Casamigos did you finish?
Half a bottle. I felt really good last night. Not so great this morning when I had to hop into my car at 7 a.m. and drive 2.5 hours to the Windy City.
Oh, my goodness. I was at a charity event last night where the gin and tonics were flowing like Niagara Falls. Right. So I'm with you. The only difference is at least mine had some tonic in it, so I got a little bit of hydration. You're just going straight up tequila. All right, fine. Give me Jamal Williams for a touchdown. I mean, at this point, this is just pure comedy. I'm going to follow just because at some point your tilt is going to pay off. That's all I know.
Oh, please go down the throat on Yeho Smooth, Jamal Williams, an anytime touchdown.
Number one.
Hey, Mr. DJ. Oh, yeah, let's party with DJ Moore. I'm going to try to bury my Bears bias as much as I can, though I am sporting a Walter Payton sweetness shirt as I am taping the Fade 5 podcast here on YouTube. But I do love me some DJ Moore against the rival Green Bay Packers. Tickets on the secondary market here in Chicago are going for obscene money because Bear fans are like, Aaron Rodgers is gone. Hallelujah. We got a chance to win. So as a result, DJ Moore, give me the over 3.5 receptions against the Green Bay Packers -115 there at BetMGM. Why am I high on this? It's all about establishing a rhythm, a flow for Justin Fields as a passer. I think it's going to be a point of emphasis. A lot of people have been questioning, oh, he looked horribly inaccurate last year. A far cry from the quarterback that we saw at the Ohio State. A lot of people doubting him, questioning him. And I think first play of the game will be some kind of design screen, kind of what we saw in the preseason to none other than DJ freaking Moore. So you could get one catch straight away on the Bears' first offensive possession in this contest. And I just need in three more after that to cash this over. He is expected to get kind of a double dose occasionally for Rasul Douglas, Jair Alexander. I don't think he's going to be fixed on one guy. Douglas last season gave up a 65.3 catch percentage to his assignments. Alexander, an outstanding cover corner, along with just 55.1 catch percentage to his shadows. But you look at DJ Moore, Carolina quarterbacks, when they target him, only posted an 80.0 passer rating. So he goes from one horrible quarterback situation to a more promising one. And I think you're going to see more of the Buckeyes version of Fields in the opener than last year's that was so leg dependent. Fields, number 27 overall in terms of attempts. And so he didn't really pass the ball a ton. And he was just number 31 in just completion percentage. But again, they want to build his confidence and get him going out of the gate. And no way you can do that without feeding DJ Moore the ball immediately. So I think that early catch is going to springboard Moore and have another three, maybe four receptions in this game. I'm not paying attention to the yards. I'm just worried about the receptions and that over 3.5 against the arch rival Green Bay Packers. Numero uno here on the Fade 5, -115 at BetMGM. Lundy, am I still tilting?
Yes. Yes. You're out of control, dude. You're totally tilting. But like I said, sometimes when you're on tilt, good shit happens. And so I do like this one in all honesty because of what you said right at the beginning. Towards the end, it was just kind of a verbal vomit that you had. There was something about being 27th in something. I don't know what the hell you were talking about, but what you did say at the start is actually why I love this one. I think Chicago wants to come out and establish Justin Fields. I have said that I actually believe that a lot of the pundits are underrating Chicago this year. I really do. Do I think they're going to win the division? No, I don't. But I think they're going to be a hell of a lot more competitive, and I think they're going to surprise people in some of these games. I have a lot of stock in season-long fantasy, in Justin Fields, in a number of leagues, and it's because they may not win the games, but that's not what I freaking need in fantasy. What I need are stats, and I think Justin Fields is going to get them for me. So I like this one because I do believe right out of the gate, especially against Green Bay, that they are going to try to establish Justin Fields as best as they possibly can. So I like this one a lot. I can see why this is number one. It's definitely my favorite of the props that you've thrown out. So despite your tilting, despite your hangover, all of that, I do believe that you're going in the right direction, especially here with DJ Moore. That's the reason he's number one.
Yeah, crank the volume, Mr. DJ, and we're going to crank the volume and some additional wagers here. It's bonus time. Lundy, you got the floor. Feed me.
All right, let's lock and load. First of all, I will throw, I told you Brad's a quitter. I told you that Brad's a quitter. He has given up on Major League Baseball. I am not. So just let me throw a quick one out there for you. 6:40 Eastern time here on Friday. The White Sox, the Southsiders, are on the road. They're taking on the Detroit Tigers. I'm just taking Chicago straight on the money line. I think they're going to pull the upset. I think I saw it earlier this morning at about +115. Give me the Sox, like I said, straight up on the money line. Clevenger's on the bump, which I know is a bit of a gamble. I'm rolling the dice on that one, but I will take Chicago on the road against Detroit. Let me go to college football. I already gave you my pick for tonight, for Friday night. Let me give you a two-legger for tomorrow. These are alt spreads, folks. First of all, I basically can pay for my daughter's college for what I was able to unload my Nebraska CU tickets for tomorrow. And folks, I'm not kidding, for what I was able to sell the tickets for. There are right now, it is three times as much to get into the CU Nebraska game tomorrow in Boulder as it is to see the Broncos and Raiders on Sunday.
God,
it is three times as expensive to get in the door at Folsom Field as it is to see the Broncos and Raiders on Sunday. That's how insane it is in Boulder. And as much as I would love to go see Prime, I like having cash in my pocket instead. It's paying for all of my ridiculousness that happened last night, but I digress. Two-leg alt total. Lost in everything that CU pulled off last week is the fact that Texas State beat Baylor.
Yeah.
They beat Baylor in Waco.
Yeah.
Holy crap. So give me Texas State on an alt line. They're traveling. They're taking on UTSA. It's not very big travel, obviously, to get to San Antonio, but they're taking on the Roadrunners. So give me Texas State +17.5, and then give me Nebraska +7.5. I know what Dion was able to do on the road against TCU, but TCU's defense in that game was like a wet Kleenex. Nebraska's defense, I think, is going to be better. I think they're going to keep this close. I do think Dion's got a great chance of starting off his career in Boulder 2-0, but I think Nebraska keeps it within a touchdown. So again, Texas State +17.5, Nebraska +7.5. Those are both alt lines at DraftKings. That gets you to a +118. So not too shabby of a play there on that one. Let me give you a couple more plays on Sunday that I like. I don't even care what you can find the spread at. Lay the points with Seattle. The Rams suck. Okay. The Rams are a problem right now, and I will happily lay the points. I've pretty much seen it between 4.5, 5.5. It's bounced around. I will lay the points. I think Seattle wins by at least a touchdown. And then, Brad, we were talking about Atlanta and we were talking about Desmond Ridder. If you're going to do that, Bijan Robinson, all right?
Ooh.
His rush attempts number opened at 13.5. It has jumped. It has jumped to 15.5, and I would still play the over. I think they're going to try to cram the ball into his belly as hard as possible and as often as possible. So I am still going to play the over on that one. Standard juice is in play. And then, Brad, I saw this number, and I saw it from the guys at CBS Sportsline. I wish I could remember who wrote about it because I'd like to give him credit. But if you take week one division underdogs, okay, so when there's a divisional matchup, week one, the underdogs are hitting against the spread at a north of 70% clip when that happens in week one. And I want to say this number is over the course of the last 9 or 10 seasons that this has happened. It's pretty remarkable. I don't know how much confidence I have in all the different divisional rivalries. We've got Cleveland and Cincinnati. We've got Vegas and Denver. But the one that I do really like takes us to Sunday Night Football. Give me the Giants plus 3.5. I think they're going to cover, and they might even beat the Cowboys on Sunday night. I think there's a reason that NBC and the NFL are popping that game into primetime for us. I think it's going to be a good game, but I'm not quite to the point of taking the Giants on the money line, but I do believe they cover in that game against Dallas. So I will take them plus the 3.5. I will have plenty more plays. You'll see those on social media, and they, of course, will be up on the spreadsheet by the time you are waking up on Sunday morning. I yield the floor to the gentleman from Illinois.
All right, I'm on a time crunch here, so we're going to rapid fire style. Let's go to the Team Huevos Parlay Play of the Day, and this is not an SGP. Let me go ahead and eliminate that here real quick, editing on the fly. It is a full-blown parlay on the alt-line market, which can build there at DraftKings with some of the alternative thresholds. Raheem Mostert, 50-plus rush yards. Tony Pollard, 50-plus rush yards. And Kenneth Walker the third. Despite the tender groin, I'm not too worried about it. I think he's still going to go, and I still think he's going to get pretty close to full complement of touches, 50 plus yards plus a very nice 169 there at DK. Mostert should be able to get this with relative ease. Remember, no Jeff Wilson Jr., he's on IR. They're going to work in the Devin Achane as well in this game. Remember, Miles Gaskin's no longer part of this franchise. Last season, which he played at least 65% of the snaps, he went over 50 yards in 4 of the 5 matchups. I know there's question marks with the offensive line, but he was a yards after contact beast. The Chargers stink on that front line. They gave up 5.6 yards per carry, over 127 rush yards per game. That's going to be a bugaboo for them yet again. Pollard, I think, will soar past this. He's going to get 70% of the opportunity share on Sunday night against the G-Men. He did this, I believe, in both games against New York last year. And the Giants, I believe, are going to have a bottom half interior line. So another guy who was a yards after contact monster, missed tackle machine, he will pile up the yards in the ground. Really, the X factor is with Kenneth Walker III. Should be a positive game script against the Rammies. Going to be working in some sort of concert with Zach Charbonnet, the rookie at UCLA. But Walker, a guy in his own right, was a yak. Beast, compiling 3.16 in that category, number 10 in missed tackles force as well, and went for at least 50 plus in 9 of 16 games in LA last year, 4.25 yards per carry allowed to the running back position. So there's your Team Huevos parlay play of the day. Elsewhere in bonus time, Lundy, I got to get some action on Nebraska-Colorado because it's the highest handle, no matter if you're talking about pro or college football, in the known universe. Here's how I'm going to play it on the SGP. Give me the Buffs on the money line. I agree. Taking Nebraska up is probably the smart move, but Colorado, I still think, wins this game. I can't fade Prime after doubting him last week, so hopefully he's not going to piss on my parade. And I'm going to take the over on an alt total of 48.5. I think defense at times in this game will be at a premium, especially when Colorado is trying to wrap dudes up. So Matt Rhule has got to really spread it out. And I think Nebraska's offense will show up in some capacity. So the over hits on that alt line, 48.5. Colorado on the money line. Put those two together on SGP at BetMGM, plus 115. Elsewhere in the NFL, rapid fire, 3 more player props that I'm digging in on. Number one, Geno Smith over 1.5 passing touchdowns at minus 140 against those Rammies. I love that. I know they're just a little bit higher there. If you want to parlay with some, I totally get it. But he did throw for at least 2 or more touchdowns in 13, 18 games last year. Number 10 in red zone attempts. And number 17, yeah, middle of the pack there in red zone completion percentage. But this is an exposable secondary, projected to be the worst in the National Football League. And Smith and Jigba is going to play in this game to go along with the usual suspects there that are catching passes in Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. So I think Geno's got to throw for at least two TDs. Also in the Dallas Giants game, I like the over on CeeDee Lamb receiving yards, 71.5. That's a minus 115 at a variety of books. A guy that primarily plays in the slot for the Cowboys. He had the 6 most slot snaps in the league last year. He was number 8 in route win percentage, number 6 in yards per route run. Going to get a lot of Adoree Jackson in the slot. Now, Jackson was good in the 8 games that he played last year, giving up just an 85.3 passer rating in his assignments, but Lamb went for 87 and 106 in a pair of matchups against the G-men. He will sail past the 71.5 yards needed. And then finally, Lundy, I don't care what the line is on Courtland Sutton receiving yards. It's not been posted yet. I'm taking the over. Jerry Judy's iffy. He could play, but he could play some limited snaps. And Courtland Sutton is going to get a lot of the former Fighting Illini, Nate Hobbs, who last season is a member of the Las Vegas Raiders, a 108.1 passer rating allowed, and a 70.0 flat catch percentage he surrendered. So I know a lot of those unrealized air yards, Sutton was number 17 in that category, could become realized out of the gate as him and Russell Wilson instantly connect with that long drink of water that Sutton is at 6'3". I don't care what the receiving yards number is. I think it's going to be 75 plus in the opener against the rival Raiders. All right, on this longer edition, a bonus time edition of the Fade 5 podcast, that is a wrap. Do us a favor, would you kindly, if you enjoy this broadcast, drop us a little bit of a thumbs up, buddy. Yeah, man, on our YouTube channel. Also, rate and review us in traditional podcast forms wherever you are consuming and downloading this show. Also, fade or follow us on the X or the Twitter at Nate Lundy. All his free spreadsheet picks there. I have like 40 tickets open because, again, I'm in full chase mode at Noisy Huevos for the wonderful and incomparable Nate Lundy. I'm Brad Evans. As always, until next time, fade or follow that. Is up to you. ILL! Don't suck.